Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world it's a coming, tell you why. There's a better world it's a coming, tell you why. We will beat 'em on the land, on the sea and in the sky. There's a better world it's a coming, tell you why. There's a better world it's a coming, don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world it's a coming, don't you see?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to Progressive News Network. I'm your host, News Director Rick Spezak. We've got a very exciting program tonight. Tonight, we've got interviews with the Florida Democratic Party chair candidates, some wonderful people who hope to bring their insight, their expertise, their special knowledge and skills to help lead the Democratic Party to defeat the Republicans who have been misleading our legislature for too long, and to defeat that gentleman who sits in the governor's office, Mr. Scott. We've got a fine group of questioners tonight. We have Florida Democratic GLBT Caucus President Sally Phillips will be with us as a questioner. Democratic Women's Club of Florida First Vice President Dr. Maureen McKinnon. And we have the President of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida, Susan Smith, without whose tireless work and all the people who contributed the questions and the energy and the enthusiasm to pull tonight's event together. This is a wonderful breakthrough for the Florida Democratic Party, hearing the positions of the candidates in advance of their election. This is something we hope will continue for a very long time to come, improving the participation of Florida Democrats. That's the way you get people out. That's the way you get people to participate. And I'm your host, Rick Spezak, News Director of Progressive News Network, and I'm very proud, as is my co-producer, Mickey Royce, to bring this event to you tonight. Many, many people work behind the scenes to do this. And let's get on with a little bit of news before we bring on our questioners and then our guests tonight. Our guest tonight will be Alan Clendenin, who is Hillsborough County DEC State Committeeman, and also Annette Tadeo Goldstein, Miami-Dade DEC Chair. Last we heard, Ms. Allison Tant Richard will not be participating, last we heard. Now, of course, this is a news show, so things happen all the time, and let's go on with the news. Several important stories that you should be knowing about. Of course, the controversy continues with the drone wars, strikes across borders, and that's a story that you'll see more of if you go to our news notes. If you go to everyvoice.blogspot, we have all the show notes, all the questions and the stories we're covering tonight. You can go there, and also the candidate questions are there. That's everyvoice.blogspot.com. Also, there's a story that the oil companies are bribing the Gulf Coast states. There's a lot of pressure being brought on to the politicians there to say that everything is okay. And, of course, the tug and pull between state and federal officials to make that funding available is very important. Another story, a group of progressive journalists meet off the record in the White House. And, of course, questions are raised what stories are covered, what stories are squashed. And, of course, off the record is something that most journalists don't really care for. So there's an important story on that. Low-power FM story. There's been some improvements, some increased access. But these are the public airwaves, and let's hope that those things improve. And also, of course, we cover the Fukushima stories, which you won't hear about typically in the most of the media. There's reports of damage to the Fukushima plant after the quake. There's spent fuel pools, although they seem to be intact. There was a seismic event 150 miles away from Fukushima. There are reports of damage, but the spent fuel rods seem to be intact. There was a report that a photographer was sent to take pictures of the reactor 4 that it looked like it was in very bad shape, ready to fall down. And it's reported that Fukushima workers tell each other, come back safe when they go to reactor 4. There was a Japan Times column on nuclear mutations. Professor saying there's an increase in negative effects from Fukushima since last year. Reports of mutations exceed even that of the Chernobyl event. Of course, the Japanese government and TEPCO say that absolutely no problem whatsoever. There's another story out of the Energy Times News that the post-quake reaction seemed to increase hydrogen pressure there at Fukushima. Also, Japanese Times journalists are reporting that TEPCO is not telling the truth, blacking out key documents, evidence mounting that Fukushima meltdowns were caused by a quake. Japan Times from December 12th. Evidence is mounting that the meltdown of the nuclear plant itself was actually caused by the earthquake rather than the tsunami. Scientific findings have given rise to serious suspicion of TEPCO's claim that the crisis was caused by a tsunami, not by the earthquake. A view that blames the tremor as the true culprit is becoming more and more trusted. Science journalist Mikushiku Tanaka, formerly with the Babcock Hitachi KK, as an engineer responsible for designing it. TEPCO is afraid that the earthquake were to be determined as the direct cause. The government would have to review its quake-resistance standards completely. This could delay by years the resumption of nuclear power. A Diet Committee looking into the incident asked TEPCO to submit a copy of the manual. Most of the pages of the documents so submitted were blacked out. The company alleges they contain trade secrets. Totally dissatisfied, the committee issued another order to TEPCO to submit the whole manual. This led journalist Tanaka to come to the conclusion the utility was not telling the truth. Another story you should know, 41% of the Japanese children tested are showing signs of thyroid problems from the radiation. Another story we want to get to your attention. There's a wonderful article in Fire Dog Lake, What Are the Tea Party Billionaires Afraid Of? And essentially draw a line between the Triangle Shirt Factory fire, the turn of the last century, to the fire that just occurred over in Pakistan. And these are, when you tie that with the events going on in Michigan right now, the rights of workers, the rights of union activists are, in fact, being threatened. Okay, and one last story I want to get to your attention. The voting blame game. This is from an article by Senator Dan Gelber. In the theater of the absurd, watching the Republicans in the legislature and the governor try to affix blame for Florida's election fiasco on someone other than themselves. They went after the election supervisors, who they claim didn't provide enough capacity to process voters. Let's be clear. While election supervisors might have done more to accommodate voters, they were clearly without authority to prevent voter suppression that was purposely and willfully committed by the Republican legislature and Governor Scott. The facts run up to the 2012 election prove that point convincingly. Another point we want to make, and we always do this, there are many other great progressive outlets on the internet radio. We want to always mention our good friends, Gwen Holden Berry with her show, Here Be Monsters. I want to mention Brian Stetton's show, Progress Toward Democracy. Anita Stewart's show, Wise Women, and also Susan Nylon out of Sarasota. All wonderful progressive broadcasters getting you news you won't hear in the standard media. Let me go ahead and bring on my questioners. Let's see, we bring on Susan first. Let's see here. Susan, welcome.
Hello, hello. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Susan. How are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm happy to be here. I want to thank you for hosting this this show and giving us an opportunity to have our questions heard and answered, and to also let our members get some feedback from these candidates. And before we get started, also just I want to make sure I say this. I want to thank all the people who submitted questions, and also I want to give a shout out to the candidates themselves and tell them how much I appreciate them putting themselves on the line. And also a thank you to Scott Randolph and Mark Allen Siegel, who are no longer in the race but spent some time campaigning. I know it's not easy, so I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Okay, Susan, while I'm bringing on Sally and Maureen, let me ask you just briefly talk just a little bit about the Progressive Caucus.
Well, we started about a year and a half ago, and we're getting ready to go into the second cycle where we have to be re-certified by the state, and we'll be having a meeting, hopefully, January 27th in Orlando. We'll be having elections, and if you'd like information, we're on Facebook, and you can find us at, this is what I have a problem with every time I'm on here, progressivedemcaucusfl.org.
Okay, let me also now bring on Sally and Maureen. Sally, welcome.
Well, good evening, Rick and everyone and Susan. And I, too, want to second what Susan said about the opportunity to come on this show. And the fact is that you're hosting and giving your time and to allow us and our members to talk with and ask questions to the folks that are wanting to lead our Democratic Party and, of course, to each of them for stepping out and doing that, too. So thanks a whole lot.
And Maureen, welcome.
Thank you very much, Rick. Good evening to everybody. I'm so proud to be part of this process. It really reflects the integrity that we are attempting to ensure for these candidates that are stepping forward to serve our party. So thank you.
Let me ask you quickly, Sally, tell us something about your organization.
Well, we are the Florida GLBT Democratic Caucus, and we have been a caucus for, I know I've been involved since 2005, and it was, you know, prior to that. So we are one of the oldest caucuses within the Florida Democratic Party, and I will dare say we, along with Susan and Maureen's organizations, we are really one of the most organized and put together, and we have members all over the state. We have actually 13 chapters. We're working on building chapters in every county. We are also going through a reorganization coming up within the next few months with our next meeting, membership meeting in February in Orlando. And we invite everyone to check us out at our we do have a web Facebook page, but we also have a website. It is FloridaGLBTDemocrats.org. And we, even if you're not a member of the GLBT community, we consider you an ally, and we don't know what we'd do without our allies. So we appreciate
so
all the support that everyone on this call gives us, and we are all working together toward full equality for all Americans. Thank you.
Thank you. Maureen, could you tell us a little bit about your organization?
Yes, the Democratic Women's Club of Florida has over 45 politically focused and active clubs throughout the state. We focus on advocacy for Democratic Party values and especially women's issues. We're very excited to be here and participate in this process tonight.
Well, I thank you so much. I've watching the questions evolve, watching the thinking, listening to the ideas and the concerns expressed, I'll tell you, I am very much honored like you all have expressed, to participate in this process. And like you, I want to thank the candidates who've offered to share their thoughts and their insight. This is not meant in any way to be confrontational. This is an educational experience. We want to learn from the insight, the wisdom, the professionalism of these fine people who've offered themselves as candidates. And we have nothing but respect for people who put themselves forward in what is always a challenging situation. Do you want to talk just for a moment about any of the overall thrust of these questions, Susan?
Yes, we did solicit questions from our membership, and we had 50 to 60 questions submitted. And from those questions, we had to condense and combine and kind of synthesize everything. They seem to fall into three general categories, so that's the way we'll be asking the questions tonight. I'll take the first set of questions, which will be on more centered on FDP policies and processes. Then Maureen will ask her questions relating to the Democratic Executive Committees, otherwise known as DECs, That's the acronym we use, and we're often bad about using acronyms without explaining what we're talking about, so I wanted to be sure to say that. And she'll also address some specific issues having to do with candidates that our membership had. And then Sally will wrap things up with the legislative issues among our different constituency groups. And then I think, Rick, you're going to ask the final question. So you're going to ask the first and the last. So we're ready to go, I think.
Okie dokie. Let me bring on Mr. Alan Clendenin, who is the Hillsborough County DEC committeeman. Welcome, Mr. Clendenin.
Hi, good evening. Thank you, Rick.
We're so happy that you could join us, sir. We really appreciate your participation. We think you have so much to share with us. And let me not waste another moment going on to Susan.
Oh, wait. I think you were supposed to ask the first. So if you don't want to ask it, I'll ask it.
Go ahead.
We want to just to very briefly have you give us like your 30-second elevator speech telling us why you're running and what unique skills you would bring to the job of FDP chair.
Thank you, Susan. I wanted to take a little bit of time. Just wanted to say thank you, Susan, Sally, Dr. McKenna, the Progressive Caucus, the Florida Democratic GLBT Caucus, and the Democratic Women's Club for hosting this along with Rick. Thank you so much, because I think this is an important method to be able to communicate to members across the state in a way that we haven't been able to in the past as have gone through this process. I have participated in this process for over the last few months, trying to get a message out to our Democrats from Escambia County down to Monroe about a vision that I have for what the Florida Democratic Party is and what it can be. I have put forth a fairly comprehensive plan called my Rebrand, Rebuild, and Recruit for the party. I believe that we have an opportunity in front of us, coming off of the successes of 2012, to build a more comprehensive and cohesive party that would allow us to mimic the successes that OFA demonstrated in 2012 and November 6th, and build towards the 2014 gubernatorial race for electoral success. What we can't afford as a party is to repeat what we did in 2010. We need to take what we've learned, mimic the OFA model, and grow from there. My plan is very detailed, and of course in a 30-second elevator speech I can't give that, but I'd be happy to answer very specific questions about it.
Okay, well that takes us into then the first question, which is about fundraising. What would be your fundraising goal in 2013, and what new and innovative strategies would you use to raise that amount of money? The emphasis there is on new and innovative ways to raise money. We all tend to know the traditional ways, but what new and innovative ways would you try to raise money for the party?
Thank you. This is something that is very near and dear to my heart and seems to be obvious from my observations that we have been way too dependent on the traditional methods as a Florida Democratic Party of raising and increasing the diversity and the predictability of our funding stream. Again, we can go back to the model that our president has demonstrated through his organization and FCA, one of the tools that we can use for increased predictable funding for the party, and that is small dollar, expansion of our small dollar donor program. We have a database that we can access. There are 4.5 million Democrats across the state. A very, very small percentage of them actually participate in our DECs, our Democratic Executive Committees, or other types of organized events. But there are still Democrats out there that love our party, love our values, and would like to be able to participate. They may not be big donors. They may not be people that you're going to pick up the phone and have them strike a huge check. But they can donate $5 or $10 a month, as demonstrated by our president. I'd like to see us expand that program, create a revenue-sharing program with the clubs, caucuses, the executive committee across the state, so that we can have a funded organization from the bottom up, and that would increase diversity. I also want to create a finance board. All large nonprofit type of organizations, or organizations like our party, has a finance board. An organization led by a leader that is focused exclusively on creating revenue for the party. And, of course, we have to use some of the traditional methods as well, but we have to expand the scope of our fundraising and not rely solely on the old model. We have to move forward.
Okay. Do you have a specific number you want to throw out there, what it costs to run a party, just for people's specific information?
Absolutely. It's more complicated than one might imagine when you look at, if you were to look at our balance sheets, because of the way the party is funded and candidate money that flows through the party, national money that flows through the party, but actual money that's generated by the state. Roughly $2.5 million a year is actually generated by the Florida Democratic Party, give or take, depends on the cycle, but I would say that's kind of an average. Obviously, it would behoove us to greatly expand that, and I think through increasing the diversity of our funding stream, we have the potential of doing that. It's a complicated formula. I believe that as we supplement that funding with these different revenue streams, that number will grow. And plus, you know, we have a product to sell. And after 2012, the successes of November 6th, we have a better product to sell. So when we reach out to people that traditionally maybe have not invested in the Florida Democratic Party, they're going to look at our party as some place that they maybe is a better bet than it may have been on November 5th.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, the next question has to do with this chair election. Do you think the process for selecting the chair is a fair one? If not, how would you change it?
Over the last couple of decades, I've actually had the pleasure of speaking with several of our individuals in the party that were part of that process, Dr. T. Wayne Bailey.
Oh, you're cutting in and out. I'm not hearing.
Now, hopefully that won't be something that'll give us a lot of trouble. Let's hope that we get him right back in. Susan, you
Rick,
want to
are you
talk?
Able to hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Oh
good.
No, you cut.
Yeah, I'm actually on a landline. I'm surprised that I cut in.
Oh, okay. Let's start over then because we didn't hear any answer to that except Dr. Wayne Bailey. That was the only thing that came through.
Okay. So yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Over the process of electing the chair.
Oops, it's going out again.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Now we can.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I was on a landline. I was fearful of being on a mobile device for that reason, so
that.
I actually got to a landline. Yeah, the process of electing a chair has been the last couple of decades. I believe that there's an opportunity to change that process. I've had the privilege of speaking with some of the individuals that were part of creating the rules, some of the justifications and the reasons why these rules were created. I think that we need to take a look at all of our rules, our charter and our bylaws, and I think they're living documents. And I think as our electorate changes, as our party changes, I think that we need to take a real good close look at that, look for opportunities for improvement, and I look forward as the chair of the Florida Democratic Party to guide that process.
Okay. I've got then the next question has to do – I'm sorry, I kind of lost – I was going to do a follow-up on that, but I think we're running out of time.
Yeah.
On the primaries, because this has to do with bylaws changes also, county DECs, caucuses, and clubs must sign a non-endorsement clause, yet the FDP doesn't seem to have to abide by that policy. As chair, would you recommend changing the FDP bylaws in order to prohibit the state party from aiding one candidate over another?
That is a question that I feel so strongly about, Susan, and I'm glad you asked, because I want to make sure that everyone that is listening to this broadcast this evening or will listen to it in a podcast at a later date clearly understands that as the chair of the Florida Democratic Party, I do not believe that the role of the Democratic Party is to pick sides or tilt the table in favor of one candidate or another. The role of the Democratic Party is to provide the infrastructure in the organization that allows our candidates to win elections against our opponent party. We have got to make sure that we provide the infrastructure and the support mechanisms. That includes voter registration, vote-by-mail initiatives, creating these really strong clubs and caucuses so that we can have an army of people out on the field doing the work that actually wins elections. So as chairman of the Florida Democratic Party, I assure you 100%, I will not allow the Florida Democratic Party to interfere with a primary election between two Democrats.
Okay, thank you. Next question, and maybe my last because we're running out of time for my portion. The loyalty oath. Should a loyalty oath be required by all Democratic Party officials and leaders, including elected Democrats? We know it's required now, but I think the problem is with its enforcement. Do you think the party could step forward to be a stronger enforcement arm of the loyalty oath?
That is a question that actually I was just asked day before yesterday. The problem with our loyalty oath today is you hit it right on the head. There is no enforcement mechanism. I don't believe they're on the horizon, or at least a...
Oops, gone again.
Hopefully he'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're back.
Yes, there
Intriguing.
You are.
Intriguing. Okay. Back to the loyalty oath. I do believe that the issue is it is enforcement. That right now I don't see on the horizon, or no one's presented to me a plan that provides the type of enforcement that would be required to make it a real, a substantive rule. So right now it's a loyalty oath in name only, and just by the honor of the individuals that sign it. I would very much entertain any proposal, not just in this idea, but of any ideas. I want to make sure this is not just the party of a couple of people operating in a cubicle in Tallahassee or in a cubicle in any other location. This party belongs to 4.5 million Floridians across the state. So as we bring forth ideas, I think that we can vet those, and we can come up with procedures that we can move this party forward.
Okay, thank you. The last question is on outreach, and I'm going to go ahead because I think my time's over, because I think outreach to the different constituency groups will be covered maybe more specifically by Maureen and Sally in their questioning. If we have time, I'll go back and ask. But we do want to make sure that you give your email address and phone number, if possible, so that if anybody wants to follow up with you specifically on your answers or on any other questions, they'll be able to do that, Alan. Thank
Absolutely.
You, and I'll turn it over. Okay, great. I'll turn it over to Maureen.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan. My first question, Alan, is about recruiting, development, and training. What long-term strategies would you employ to recruit, develop, and train more women, LGBT, youth, and minorities into leadership positions within the Florida Democratic Party?
Thank you. Absolutely. A full third of my plan that I've devoted to the change that I feel that we need in the Democratic Party is recruitment, and included in that plan is training. I believe that we have to have a nuts and bolts class, that we can't have a successful, thriving organization if we don't train our not only our future leaders, but our current team that are out seeking elections or running elections. So training in any organization is the mother's milk of success. You've got to teach your people how to effectively do the job and then execute that plan. We have a lot of up-and-coming stars, and thankfully, because of the changing demographic in our state, the pool of potential candidates and activists is just... find groups that have traditionally been underrepresented in our electoral process and bringing them up through the system. I mean, it's a classic that, over 50% of our population are women, And our job is not done until we look into our legislatures and we look at our city councils and our county commissions to see that they reflect the appropriate numbers of the population. The growth of our Latino community, this is an amazing time that we can reach into the community, talk to them about the potential of being involved. You get them involved in campaigns, you get them involved in our process, and hopefully we'll have them involved as elected officials in the future.
Thank you. The next question is about candidates. What long-term strategies would you implement to identify, mentor, and train more women, LGBT, youth, and minorities in order to prepare them for running a successful political campaign?
Well, you know, going right back to the answer I just gave on that question, that is all about reaching into the communities, identifying those candidates, and then putting together a program. We need to have a nuts and bolts program. We've done it in the past.
Let's hope he comes back in. You were doing a wonderful job asking questions, and he's doing a wonderful job answering. Let's hope we have Mr. Clendenin back quickly.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There you go. You're in.
Intriguing that it keeps. I'm sitting in the same location and doing the same thing. I'm sorry, Doctor. I don't know where I was cut off, but the key to this is that we have to reach out into our community, identify talented individuals that represent the diversity of our party and our state. We need to provide the nuts and bolts, and I was giving kudos to one of our hosts this evening, Susan Smith. Susan Smith has, in the past, put together some incredible training that I believe is responsible for a lot of some of the successes that we've enjoyed. We need to take programs like that, but we need to embrace them in an institutional type of way so that we can have our candidates, our activists, our volunteers trained in all 67 counties and in every aspect of the electoral process. I look forward to working with people like Susan to expand that type of a program, to have a real nuts and bolts type of training and class to expand our outreach.
Thank you. I'm going to combine the next two questions because they are related. What are your plans to show support for local candidates, and how will you determine which races are viable? How would you balance the need to target party resources with the need to recruit viable candidates for every statewide race?
Well, I would like to rephrase that question because there was a lot of eyes in that question. I think that's part of what I'm really going to strive to bring to the Florida Democratic Party is a lot less of I and a lot more of we. I believe that in order to effectively run this party and move towards where we need to move, we have got to decentralize our organization. And I call for a plan of regionalization. I want to create a regionalization approach to the state where we are able to drive these decisions farther down to the structure into the community, so people know that their areas, their communities better than the people that maybe live within a couple of square blocks of the Tallahassee Capitol. Absolutely, I can tell you and give you an instinctive response to races in our communities where close to where I live. But even as involved as I am in the political process, if you ask me to identify a candidate that would be successful to run in St. John's County, or Miami-Dade, or Okaloosa, I may be able to give you what maybe at the surface sound like an intelligent response, but really it would be very, very shallow. We have got to push these decisions down to the communities, to the places that people know their communities the best.
Great, thank you. The next question is about DECs, Democratic Executive Committees. What measures would you put in place to assist DECs, clubs, and caucuses in building membership?
Well, one of the primary purposes of a DEC is to create the organization and infrastructure for their communities. That's a responsibility for the Democratic Executive Committee. solely a responsibility of the Democratic Executive Committee. What we can do to help facilitate that is what I referred to earlier when we talk about financing and my small donor program proposal of revenue sharing, that we are able to create a program where small DECs, clubs, and caucuses, because it's not just all DECs. I'm a big fan, an absolute advocate for an expansion of our clubs and caucuses, because these are areas that we can actually bring people together with a common cause, identify with.
Mr. Clendenin. Hopefully he'll be back in another moment. There we go. Okay, great.
Okay, intriguing. I don't know where I cut off, but I was talking about clubs and caucuses and the expansion of the way we can facilitate what their role is by assisting them in funding through a small donor revenue sharing program and providing them the message and the infrastructure and really the respect that they deserve. We have a lot of Democrats that are involved in clubs and caucuses and Democratic executive committees. I can assure you, as someone that has sat in the seats, I have the highest degree of respect and understanding that hardworking people put in a full day's work and then volunteer their time, and that they're soulfully connected to our party, and they deserve the respect. Nobody wants to be taken for granted, and I'll never take them for granted, and I'll always respect the Democratic clubs, caucuses, and our DECs.
Thank you. Specific question. Will you support development of a nonprofit Florida Democratic Party mailer which would allow DECs to buy in and in so doing be able to take advantage of FDP's nonprofit postage rate?
Honestly, I would have defer back to our the subject matter experts on that matter, and honestly, the premise sounds obviously attractive and worth exploring. It sounds like something that I would very willing to listen to. The devil's always in the details and the finance and the legality side. So I would say that I would absolutely open to that idea. I would want to talk to the subject matter experts to make sure that all of our bases are covered before we move forward on something like that. But that along with many other proposals, I want to be the Florida Democratic Party chair that listens and it works collaboratively with our activists and our groups around the state. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Under your leadership, will the Florida Democratic Party give more direction in writing and implementing a campaign plan for each DEC?
More direction. I think that's part of the training, nuts and bolts. I think we will be able to create highly effective and organized DECs, clubs, and caucuses if we provide the training. I, again, bottom up, I want to provide people with the infrastructure and organization and training that allows them to be self-sufficient and functioning. We have some highly effective organizations. We have a lot of room to grow, a lot of potential to grow. What we don't lack is people who are committed to our party and want to work towards electoral success. Let's train our people, and I think that will come.
Thank you. The final two questions are about vote builders. I'm going to combine them. Would you charge Democratic candidates for use of the van, or would you provide it free of charge? And in what way would you change van usage for local DECs, clubs, and caucuses?
The van program is an amazing success story for our database and our party. It's part of what has led to where we were on November 6th of 2012. It's something that's extremely useful. It's been useful to our DEC locally and our clubs and our caucuses, and doing the targeting that we were able to accomplish and enjoy the successes that we've enjoyed around the state. I believe that we should be appropriately expand the use of that wherever we possibly can. The charging issue is something that is something we need to look at. We need to really understand why those decisions are made. Again, I just have to default back that I want to be the Florida Democratic Party chair. to decentralize and regionalize the party, and that is in every sense of the word. Every opportunity I'm going to have to be able to drive this the decision making and the infrastructure down, I'm going to drive it down. I have a background in labor. I'm a labor guy. I learned everything I know about what I want to bring to the Florida Democratic Party from labor. That's what we did, and we were successful at it.
Thank you very much. That was my final question.
Sally, take it away.
All right. All right. Hi, Alan.
Hi, this is Sally Phillips, my partner for the last four years in Hillsborough County.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, I'm going to be kind of the final questioner, except Rick is going to ask one last question. And my area, obviously, as the president of the GLBT caucus, I want to focus on specific legislative issues, and then we're going to talk a little bit about platform and how we develop strategies toward implementing the platform. The first three questions are just yes or no, okay? Because, I mean, obviously, time is getting to a premium at this point. The first one, would you publicly call for marriage equality, and would you sign the Freedom to Marry pledge?
I absolutely would publicly call for marriage equality. Our President of the United States is, I'm sorry, that was yes or no, yes.
Yeah, yes, right, exactly. Let's kind of move on. I'm going to go into these in a little bit of detail. So the second part to that question is, are you familiar with the Freedom to Marry pledge, and would you sign it?
I am familiar with the Freedom of to Marry pledge. There's some issues surrounding that, but on the same-sex marriage, calling for it's the last civil rights fight of our time, I believe, or not the last, but it's one of the biggest civil rights fight of our time, and I absolutely support same-sex marriage, and I would fight to ensure that that remains a part of the Florida Democratic Party platform.
Okay. All right. Second yes, no. Would you publicly call for the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment?
Absolutely, 100% yes. I'm sorry,
okay.
I can't just say it in yes. It should have been done years ago, and it needs to be done tomorrow.
Exactly. Okay. Would you, and then the final of the yes and no, would you publicly support a woman's right to make her own reproductive choices?
100% unequivocal, core democratic value, yes.
Absolutely. Well, we feel like all these are, and so that's why we're really strongly focusing on them. Now, let's talk about platform issues. Considering that marriage equality was not specifically included in the FDP platform, but, as we all know, was included in the DNC platform, will you work to include it in the FDP platform in the future?
But absolutely work to ensure that the Florida Democratic platform includes same-sex marriage equality, and okay. I would be happy to pursue that goal at one of the first orders of business.
Okay, fantastic. And then the second part to this question is, what would you do as the FDP chair to advocate for the FDP and the DNC platform as it relates to marriage equality, to abortion rights, to the Equal Rights Amendment, to public education, and to future ballot initiatives like amendments?
With the exception of the amendment clause, everything that you just addressed is non-negotiable. That
okay.
is core democratic values, and why I'm sure everyone that's listening to this broadcast, and including myself, and this is core democratic values, why we call ourselves Democrats. Those issues are non-negotiable. We stand up for women. We stand up for members of our society that have been put down, historically put down, and not represented in our government. On the amendment issue, that is something that we have got to do better at. We've seen how our opponents use those amendments as political weapons. Thankfully, in 2012, we were able to pivot and we were able to block those. I think there's some potential that we can look at amendments to work for our causes. And I would
mm-hmm.
really appreciate all of the expertise that we have in the Democrats across the state to work towards that end.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Next question. Do you favor a strategy along with the state and federal legislators that would be more proactive in supporting our platform issues through legislation?
Absolutely. I believe that as Democrats, we need to focus on our message. And if you would look back at my my plan for the Florida Democratic Party that you can find at www.alanclendenin.com, alanclendenin.com, you'll find that messaging is an integral part of the plan that I've presented. And as Susan and Sally and Dr. McKenna are probably aware, that I was chair of the platform committee, first platform the Florida Democratic Party has had in many, many, many years. I believe this is a this is a tool that we can use to win elections and get our team on the same page so that in come 2014, we will all be sitting side by side at a Democratic gubernatorial inauguration.
Okay, good. Now, my final question, and it really has to do with outreach, and Susan mentioned it, and I'm going to take on this because, I mean, it looks like we're running out of time, but this is our final question, my final question, and what would be your strategy to reach out and recognize the particular groups within our party, such as the three groups that are represented here tonight, the Women's Caucus, the LGBT Caucus, and then of course the Progressive Caucus, but then others that we feel are equally as important. One would be, of course, the Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, and the Young Democrats. So what would you do to actually develop a plan to include all these caucuses in the FDP planning and policy implementation?
Well, I believe if you look at it, it may not be 100% complete, but the plan that I put forth, it's woven throughout that plan is inclusion. And my idea of inclusion is not something that I would have just came up or invented moving towards the Florida, my goal of becoming the Florida Democratic Party chair. It's just the way you do business. If we're going to win elections in the state of Florida, all of our stakeholders have to have a seat at the table, and that's at every level of our party and every level of our society, all of our clubs and caucuses. There is no party. If we take out one of these pieces that you just between, you know, disability caucuses and our incredible growth of our Hispanic caucus, you take out any one of these pieces of the puzzle, and you do not have the whole picture of the Democratic Party. Everything I do as a Florida Democratic Party chair will be as inclusive as I could possibly, and the net will be as wide as I possibly can to make sure that.
Whoops.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're back.
Okay, good. Very good. I think we may be out of time, so I think Susan asked me to make sure I gave my contact information. My name is Alan Clendenin. I would appreciate your support to be the next Florida Democratic Party chair. I look forward to moving our party forward, and you can reach me at alanclendenin.com. My email address is alan@alanclendenin.com. You can call my cell phone number if you'd like.
Okay.
813-495-7751. Text messages as well. I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Happy Hanukkah, happy holidays, and thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you tonight.
Mr.
Alan, before you go, let me turn this back over to Rick because I think maybe we'll take one last question.
Yes, Rick? With the cooperation of both of our candidates, we're extending 5 more minutes for each of their times. Mr. Clendenin, we want to thank you so much for your cooperation and joining us for these questions. You've been very informative. Well, my last question, sir, is this. Would you assist in clearing the way for a Charles Crist to represent our party in 2014, or would you actively encourage a Democratic primary if he gets in the race?
I am firmly, completely opposed to tilting the table, clearing the way, or doing anything that would appear as though you are favoring one Democrat over another. This
Excellent
is the Democratic
answer,
Party.
Sir.
We believe in the Democratic process.
Excellent. Thank you so much again for joining us. On behalf of my colleagues, we want to thank you for joining us. Thanks again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Susan, Sally, Maureen, and everybody that's listening. Thank you for your support, and I appreciate your vote.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, that was fantastic. Excellent job, ladies. Great questions. Well delivered. Nice and tight. We've spoken to Ms. Tadeo Goldstein. She's going to be calling in just a couple more minutes. She delayed her call in 5 minutes so we could get that extra question in, and we'll be extending her the same courtesy, going 35 minutes with her as well. Let's see here. Ladies, any particular comments?
I would like to talk, since we will be a little more rushed at the end and she hadn't called in, we could talk a moment about the election itself that will be taking place in Orlando on January 26th. The Florida Democratic Party Central Committee will be the people who vote for the chair, and the Central Committee is made up of the state committee men and women from each county, the elected Democrats, and our representatives get a vote in there, also a weighted vote. So it's a complicated formula. I was reading through it before the call tonight. The large counties have a weighted vote because it's based on Democratic performance versus total vote. It's a complicated formula, as I was saying. But that election will be public if you want to come. It's in Lake Mary on January 27th.
Susan, I have the good news that Ms. Tadeo Goldstein is here with us. So let me bring her online.
Great. Hello.
Welcome, Ms. Tadeo Goldstein. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on. This is really very nice of you guys to do this for all of us.
Well, we think it's important that we get a chance to hear the thoughts, the insights, the professional voices of these candidates. And without taking any more time myself, you want to take a moment to talk a little bit about yourself and your experience?
Oh, absolutely. I am delighted to be here. Thank you to all of the caucuses and the Women's Club for hosting this, and to you for having this show. But more importantly, thank you to everybody who's listening, because that means that they are concerned about the future of the Florida Democratic Party. I am one of those that is very concerned about our future. I am very concerned about making sure we get rid of Rick Scott. I have been very involved in the Florida Democratic Party for very long, but I will tell you that I got involved in politics at a very early age in college when I ran for student government secretary, and I lost that race because I had put posters all over college that said Annette Tadeo for secretary, and on the day of the election, let me first explain that I went to school at the University of North Alabama. And on the day of the election, the posters no longer said Annette Tadeo for secretary. They said Annette Tadeo for deportation. So from that day forward, I lost that election, but I decided that from that day forward, I would be a winner. And I started a business translating for companies, and became very successful at that. But more importantly, I decided that our community, our country, needed to learn from our differences, and that we had so much more to gain by coming together, all of us, from different places. And the state of Florida is one of those places, and we're at one of those crossroads where all of us came together to reelect President Obama. And we did such an amazing job of doing that. And I want to use what we just did with President Obama, reelecting him and coming out and doing such an amazing job. I was proud to be part of that campaign. And as such, I want to keep doing that. I want to keep working. I am very, very, very fond and very much dedicated to service, and I want to keep serving in any way that I can. And if that means being if I have the honor of being president of the Florida Democratic Party, then I would serve with great distinction.
Thank you so much. Let me bring on our first questioner, Ms. Smith.
Hello. Hi, Annette. This is Susan.
Hello.
Here. I'm asking the first questions on FDP policies and processes. The first question, what would be your fundraising goal in 2013, and what new and innovative, with emphasis on new and innovative strategies, would you use to raise that amount of money?
Well, I think that our fundraising goals, we have actually lowballed our fundraising, and I think that we should go think outside the box. I have been somebody that have sort of surprised everybody with my capabilities at fundraising. I have been able to fundraise, although doors have been closed to me in the past when I fundraised. When I ran for Congress, I raised $1.3 million, although it was in a race that everybody said I would lose, and I did. I was running against a 19-year incumbent. However, what I did there is what I would do here, which is not just raise from the establishment. We need to continue doing that. And I have great relationships there. But also, we need to raise from the grassroots. And I will tell you that that is something that I have experience with, that I did, that I went outside, not just to the state, but I went outside the state, and build a list of over 100,000 donors for a congressional race, which is quite amazing. So to be able to do these things, you have to think outside the box, but more importantly, you have to really, really believe in what you're doing and therefore get other people to join you. The president proved that money is not everything. We had the Koch brothers against us. We had all this, you know, institutional money against us. But we had the people with us. And we can do that in the state of Florida again. We can do that if we have the right person asking for the money and involving the grassroots. We have to involve the people because that's who we are. We're the Democratic Party.
Okay, well, that takes us to the next question then. When we talk about involving the people, do you think the process for selecting the chair is a fair one? If not, how would you change it?
As you guys get to know me, you'll get to know that I am a pretty honest and blunt person for a politician. That's probably not common. I am not happy about the process, but however, I think that that you know that's the process that we're with, and if I get the honor of being the chair, then I would definitely want to listen to all the different ways in which we can change it. I am not just saying this to you. I have said it to any of the leaders. If you don't like the process, then we need to change it. So I will say it from the top to the bottom. And I don't profess that I have all the answers on how to change it, but I am somebody that will listen to ways in which we can do something better. What I can tell you is that I am somebody that likes to involve everyone, and we should not exclude anyone. I also want to say that no matter who we end up selecting in this process, we are all in this together, and we must get behind whoever that person is. I will be behind, if it's not me, I will be behind Alan or whoever else it might be. Because ultimately what I want and what I think we all want is to get rid of Rick Scott and to build a bench all across the state and to increase our seats at the legislature. So therefore, let's not forget what our ultimate goal is in the process of trying to resolve these internal issues.
Okay, thank you. The next question is on primaries. County DEC's caucuses and clubs must sign a non-endorsement clause, yet the FDP doesn't have to abide by that policy. As chair, would you recommend changing the FDP bylaws in order to prohibit the state party from aiding one candidate over another?
I am of the mindset that every election matters. Well, as a matter of fact, in Miami-Dade, we have T-shirts that say that every election matters. So I think that that we should definitely look at that. I have signed one, and I will abide by it. And I think, you know, are there really any nonpartisan races? They call them nonpartisan.
Well, I think more specifically, Annette, is that the party has in the past really given support, sometimes behind the scenes, sometimes very openly, to one Democrat over another in a primary. And I know our DECs have, you know, we don't do that, but do you think the party, would you change that at the FDP level?
I'm very familiar with this. I mean, we just went through, through a fight, through a primary fight in Miami-Dade. It was obviously a federal fight, but nonetheless, it was a race for Congress where I supported Joe Garcia for Congress, and we had an anti-union person running that was supported by the establishment. Although I was a woman, and I am on a national board to get more women to run for office, I thought it was wrong to get involved in the primary, first of all. Second of all, I thought it was wrong to support an anti-union candidate. So, yes, I disagree, and I don't think it should happen, and I think it should change.
Okay, great. Thank you. Next question on the loyalty oath. Should a loyalty oath be required by all Democratic Party officials and leaders, including elected Democrats? And how would you – it is required per the bylaws, but how would you enforce it, or would you favor a stronger enforcement mechanism? And I think a good example of that would have been the race for governor, when some of our elected Democrats supported an independent candidate, not governor, I'm sorry, the Senate race in 2010,
Senate
when
race,
some of
yes.
some of our people supported an independent over the Democrat Kendrick Meek in that race.
Yes, I was very much in support of Kendrick. It is a problem that we have within our party, and we need to stick together as a party. At the same time, I want to make sure that we support our Democratic candidates, but I don't want to confuse the two issues between being supportive of our Democratic candidates and then getting involved in Democratic primaries, and I realize that's not your question, but I want to make sure that I'm clear here about the two things. But I do think that should be addressed.
Okay, thank you. And then the outreach questions, as I said, we had them categorized here, but Sally and Maureen will pick up on those. But thank you, and I'll turn it over to Maureen now.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Hi, Annette. This is Maureen. I'm going to ask my first question to you about recruiting, development, and training. What long-term strategies would you employ to recruit, develop, and train more women, LGBT, youth, and minorities into leadership positions within the Florida Democratic Party?
Well, thank goodness that you guys are looking at that. It seems that we haven't been looking at that enough. Sometimes I feel that we as a party are more in the business of keeping some consultants in business than electing members. What I will tell you, what I, you know, I'm not Florida Democratic Party chair yet, so I can't do anything there yet, but I will tell you what I have started to do in Miami, which is to reach out to groups that are training already people that want to run for office, including many women. And I have made sure that more than 50% of their candidates or their people that they're training to run for office are women. And so I think in partnering with other groups, progressive, of course, groups that can work with us to give us candidates so that it's not just us alone working on this. So I think there's the group that we've worked with over here is called the National Leadership Council. So there's a lot of work that we've done already here. So actions speak louder than words. In addition to that, I have also worked nationally with the Women's Campaign Fund, where I serve on the national board, trying to attract more women. Obviously, we try to attract diversity at every level, including LGBT candidates. We need to look like our state, and we need to be diverse like our state. I caught a little bit of flack in Miami-Dade County when, since I'm Jewish, I didn't support the Jewish candidate. Instead, I supported David Richardson. I thought that it was time for our state to have the first openly gay representative. And I am so glad that I did, and I'm very proud that we elected him.
Thank you. The next question is about candidates. What long-term strategies would you implement to identify, mentor, and train more women, LGBT youth, and minorities in order to prepare them for running a successful political campaign?
Well, again, we need to do more of that, but I will tell you, as somebody that has run before, the biggest thing is making sure that you have somebody from within that community that understands that community, that has lived in that community, that is respected in that community, that is loved in that community, but furthermore, that also is taught how to raise money, how to not be afraid, how to not mind that they're going to hang up the phone on you. So there is going to be a lot of things, but I can speak from experience as somebody that has run and has been there and done that, that we, especially women, especially minorities, you have to ask, and you have to ask sometimes multiple times. And I think we need to recruit a lot more, and we need to start thinking long term. So we need to start recruiting for the school board, for the city council, so that when that seat opens up for the state house and then for the state senate, we actually have somewhere to go for people to run. It'll make it a lot easier for us. So we do need to think long term, and we unfortunately do not think long term.
Thank you. The next two questions I'm going to combine, and they're both about candidates. What are your plans to show support for local candidates, and how will you determine which races are viable? How would you balance the need to target party resources with the need to recruit viable candidates for every statewide race?
I'll tell you, viability is a very difficult thing because in politics you tend to look at numbers, and that's how decisions are made. But, you know, I think that candidates can also stand out and show you that they can make a difference, that they can raise the money. So there are lots of ways that we can measure viability besides just numbers. But usually these are targeted by numbers. I know as somebody who ran in a race that was unwinnable, but, you know, shocked everybody with the success and the closeness that I got, these races are still important, and they are still, you know, people should not be discouraged nonetheless. And I think that we need to look at so many races. I'm going to give you an example. We now have Eric Fresen, who won by just about 2,000 votes. We didn't target that race. He is now the chair of the education committee, and obviously his family owns the charter school, you know, many of the charter schools, and so this affects us greatly. but we never thought that this was an attainable feat. These are the type of things that we need to look at more closely and pay more attention to. I would pay more attention to these kinds of things. And I know that we had some successes in other areas where it was just, nobody ever thought we would. So it is possible, and I think we need to look at them.
Thank you very much. My next questions are about Democratic Executive Committees, DECs. What measures would you put in place to assist DECs, clubs, and caucuses in building membership?
Well, I think it's, first of all, I think you shouldn't come from the top down. It should, you should work with them to see what do they want to put in place. Because, what we do, for example, in Miami is totally different from what someone does in other areas of the state. We have a very, very large and diverse state. And we have some areas of the state where we don't even have DECs, unfortunately, and we need to work on that because every single area, every single vote counts. So what would I do? I would work with every single county to try to see, what would work for them. I don't think the same formula that we use for the southeastern part would be the same one as the northeastern or the northwest. I think that every area is different, and we need to work together to try to resolve those issues individually. Furthermore, I would be the kind of person that would go and visit with them and would help them in whatever way I could to try to help them, more importantly, with the fundraising, because I know that that's very, very important, and that's an area where I think I could be helpful.
Thank you. Will you support development of a nonprofit Florida Democratic Party mailer which would allow Democratic executive committees to buy in and in so doing be able to take advantage of FDP's nonprofit postage rate?
If that is possible to do, absolutely.
Okay. Next question. Under your leadership, will the FDP give more direction in writing and implementing a campaign plan for each DEC?
Again, I think, I think I answered that in saying that, yes, we would give direction and work, but I don't believe in top-down. I believe in bottom-up. So I don't think that the FDP should be telling DECs what to do. I think that the FDP should be working with the DECs in conjunction, and the FDP doesn't know what someone in Escambia, wants or needs. So that's my issue with the wording of the question, I think.
Thank you. My last category is about vote builders, and there are two questions. I'm going to combine them. Would you charge Democratic candidates for use of the van, or would you provide it free of charge? In addition, what way would you change van usage for local DECs, clubs, and caucuses?
Well, you're asking a former candidate, but I was like, what? You mean they charged us for this when I found out? So I think that we as a Democratic Party should be delighted when people run. Again, keep in mind there may be primaries and we can't take one candidate over another, so we have to figure that part out and all that. But I do believe that we need to try to make it easier for candidates to walk, to knock on doors, to help them, to facilitate, to train, to teach them how to raise money. Many of them don't even know the importance, of an ask, the importance of, how to do that. I'm lucky. I got trained by Emily's List. I think they're one of the best in training on fundraising. But there's just so much out there that we can do. on how to do these things and how to help candidates. And charging them is not one of them.
How would you change how the van is used by local DECs, clubs, and caucuses?
Well, I'm not sure that I know how every local DEC utilizes it to their best to the best of their ability. I don't know that they all use it to the best of their ability. I know what we have done in our area, and I know that it has its, the van has its pluses and it has its minuses, and I would certainly, I have given feedback, and I would certainly input that feedback. But again, I'm a two-way street kind of person. I want to hear what these DCs would like to see, and I don't think that, you know, it should be thrown at them.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sally?
Okay. All right. Hi, Annette. I'm Sally Phillips. Thank you for being on this call.
My pleasure.
I want to focus on legislative issues, and then we're going to talk a little bit about platform issues and how to develop strategies around these things. So let me start first. And the legislative issues will be specifically concerning the marriage equality, abortion rights, the ERA, public education, and amendments that come up. The first three questions are just yes and no. We're gonna get started pretty quick. I know time is kind of in a premium right now. First question for you, again, yes or no. Would you publicly call for marriage equality, and would you sign the Freedom to Marry pledge?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Second question, yes or no. Would you publicly call for passage of the Equal Rights Amendment?
Yes, and have been for years.
Okay, fantastic. I figured that. And third, would you publicly support a woman's right to make her own reproductive choices?
Yes, and have been for years.
Okay. I figured those would be easy for you, those, particularly the last two. Okay, platform.
No, the first one, too.
Considering that marriage equality, now remember, I'm the president of the Florida GLBT caucus, and marriage equality is certainly one of our most primary issues. But these came from, you know, all the questions that we're asking certainly came from, you know, our members, both in all three of the caucuses that are participating tonight. The first, considering that marriage equality was not specifically included in the FDP platform, but, as we all know, was put in the DNC platform, will you work to include this in the FDP platform in the future?
The answer is absolutely, and I have to tell you that I was very disappointed that it wasn't included. And I am one of these people that had, I was a media surrogate for the president. And please understand, as a Hispanic media surrogate, I had to go on a lot of stations, including some religious stations. And I am someone that understands that sometimes we have to answer to people who do not agree with our views. However, I think that we are respected as Democrats when we stand for what we believe in, even if at times, because of their religious views, they disagree with us. And it's really important that we stick with our principles and really let them know where we believe. And just like the president said, you may not always agree with me, but at least you know where I stand. And I think we as a Democratic Party need to be the same in the state of Florida. We did it nationally. We failed to do it in the state of Florida. I believe that that is wrong and it should change.
Okay, thank you. Now, the follow-up to that is, what would you do as the FDP chair to advocate for FDP and DNC platform, especially as it relates to marriage equality, abortion rights, the Equal Rights Amendment, public education, and future ballot initiatives?
Well, all of them are things that I'm very passionate about. Future ballot initiatives sort of leaves it open to, you know, God knows what. So, I have always been a big advocate of our democratic principles and have fought openly. And I believe that that's what makes a leader, that you stand up for what you believe in. And sometimes that's what people are looking for, somebody who's willing to have the wherewithal to stand up and say, this is what I believe in, and you know, even if you don't agree with me, I'm here, and I'm here to stand up and tell you this is what's right, and this is what's wrong, and people will respect you for that.
Okay, thank you. Now, next question. Do you favor developing a strategy along with the state and federal legislators that would be more proactive in supporting our platform stances through legislation?
Absolutely. I think that we need to have a strategy because we haven't we don't have the numbers, so we need to have a strategy to be successful at getting it done until we get the numbers.
Okay, thank you. Next question. What would be your strategy to reach out and recognize the particular groups within our party, particularly the three that are participating in this call, the Women's Caucus, the GLBT Caucus, and the Progressive Caucus? But in addition to these, we also feel they're equally important is the Black Caucus, of course the Hispanic Caucus, and the Young Democrats. What would be your strategy to reach out and recognize these particular groups, include their leaders and their members in FDP planning and policy implementation?
Well, everything, and I didn't hear you mention labor. Every single one of these groups is a part of the Democratic Party, and that's. And it's not just the Democratic Party. That's who we are. That's what Florida is. That's what this country is. So in order for us to be successful, we need to have every one of those voices at the table. So I can't be successful if I'm going to be the leader if I don't have everyone at the table. I have to, although I'm a woman, I still believe that we need to have a representative from the Women's Caucus. Although I have children in school, I still believe that we need to have, you know, somebody from, you know, who is, for example, from the teachers union, especially since we have so many issues with this parent trigger bill. So, I mean, there's so many issues that we have to deal with that we need to have all these voices at the table. So I'm the kind of person that likes to listen and likes to have everybody and for everybody to have a seat at the table. So what's my strategy? My strategy is to give everybody a voice. And I will tell you, that's who we are as Democrats. You know, on Spanish radio, I get asked often, and I do want to tell this tiny little story, where does our burro come from? Burro in English is donkey. Because a lot of Hispanics, you know, are new and don't understand a lot about our politics. And I'm sure almost everybody on this call or on this radio show will know that, you know, the history with Andrew Jackson when he ran for president in 1828 and his opponents tried to label him, you know, a jackass for his populist views and his slogan, "Let the people rule." Now, Jackson, don't get me wrong, I do believe he was a bit of an ass, a racist, sexist, and many other things. However, you know, he turned that to his advantage by using the donkey on his campaign posters. And from then on, you know, we continued using the donkey. And so I tell this story because I do want to use, I tell people about the Let the People Rule and about the importance of our party of the people. And so I just told you about sitting around a table and the importance of having everybody at the table. I think that that's what our Democratic Party in Florida needs to do, needs to continue doing, and I would do.
Okay, good. Now that's the end of my questioning, but before I turn this back over to Rick, and he has one last question, and I'm not sure if you heard, we had over 50 questions submitted by our three caucus members, the three caucuses that are participating, and a lot of them we did not have time to ask. So what we'd like you to do, if you would, is give your contact information so someone, if you wish, can contact you by phone or by email and maybe do follow-ups or even ask their own questions. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely. After or now?
Right now. Get this done, and then I'm going to turn it over to Rick, and then he's going to give you the final question.
Okay, so my email is info@AnnetteTadeo.com, which is AnnetteTadeo.com. So my first name, last name, .com. info@AnnetteTadeo.com. And that's my email. My phone number is 305-668-9797.
Okay. All right, Annette, thank you so much. And Rick, you want to take it from here?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I want to thank all my coalition partners on this project, and I want to especially thank our candidate guest, Ms. Tadeo Goldstein. Thank you so much for joining us. I've got an interesting question for you at the end. We've saved always an interesting one for the end. And it's this question that's on so many Democrats' minds. Would you assist in clearing the way for Charlie Crist to represent our party in the 2014 election, or would you actively encourage a Democratic primary if he gets in the race?
I would actively encourage a Democratic primary. I think I have repeatedly said throughout this interview the importance of inclusiveness and of our entire party participating. So I welcome a primary.
Well, thank you so much. To me and to many, many others, that expresses the best of the Democratic spirit. Everyone at the table, everyone participating, all voices heard. And I can't thank you enough for joining us. And I'm going to let my colleagues make their final comments with you, with us. Thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Annette.
Yes, thanks, everybody. I think we do need to maybe talk about the election just a little bit more. There is an echo. Is everybody hearing it, or is it just me?
No, it sounds okay to me.
I hear it, too.
Well, again, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Tadeo, and thanks for joining us. Now, Susan, you wanted to make some remarks about the election process?
Yes, and I also want to say that Allison Tant Richard, who's the other candidate, I think was celebrating her anniversary this weekend, and that's why she wasn't available. And I don't know if we could figure out a way to do a segment, either pre-recorded or live, before the election so that she could have the opportunity to answer the questions also. But we will be reaching out to her to ask that question. And I want to thank Rick again, and I want to tell everybody, and Sally can probably go into more detail on this, about the election January 26th at Lake Mary. I think it's a Marriott in Lake Mary. And I'll see if Sally can give more information on that.
Well, as far as where it is, I think that is where is the place. But the people who get to vote are the state committee men, state committee women. And I don't know how many of you on this telephone call have connections with those folks. But, you know, we might want to have some conversation just to make sure that we are electing the person that we feel is the most qualified to lead our party into the next 4 years. So that's pretty much what I have. And anything else that we come up with as far as the election itself, we will certainly be more than happy, like we've done in the past, to let folks know, and that way we can have further conversation about it. But I wanted to appreciate everything that Susan and Maureen and, of course, Rick have done to put this call together. I think this is it's been tremendous. There has never in my history with the Florida Democratic Party been the interest that I have seen in who we elect as our chairperson. And I think that things like this, calls like this, interviews like this, where we feel like we're getting to know these folks, I think is just really exceptional. And I appreciate the fact that we have so many of you participating on the call. And also that we had so many people send in questions. Like we've said, we had 50 to 60 questions submitted. We had to kind of combine them. And I hope that we've done, we feel like we did the best job that we knew how. But each of the candidates have given their particular contact information, and I would encourage each of you to reach out to them. And particularly ask things that maybe you have a little bit of question in your mind about. But thanks so much to everybody.
Thank you.
Dr. McKenna, do you want to make any final remarks?
I do want to thank Susan, Rick, Sally, Annette, and Alan for their participation this evening. I think it was a significant turning point for our party to have this this teleconference and blog, so I mean, it and radio show. It's been beneficial for everybody involved. I do want to include here those of you that are members of the Democratic Women's Club of Florida, that the candidates have been invited to our hospitality suite on January 11th in Panama City, where we're having our quarterly state meeting. That's another opportunity for DWC members to meet and greet and ask them specific questions. Thank you.
I will take a moment to also add that our show, Progressive News Network, will be glad to accommodate any other candidates for Florida Democratic Party chair. On behalf of myself and my co-producer, Ms. Mickey Royce, we welcome this opportunity to have the candidates speak and be interviewed. It is the kind of way we like to see democracy practiced, with the participation of all voices and everyone getting a chance to ask a question. Thank you all so much. You've contributed these questions, and thank you so much to my colleagues. I can't thank you enough. It's been a real pleasure working with you, and I'm just very proud of the work we did tonight. Thank you, ladies. We've made history tonight.
We did. We did it bad. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
And good night, everybody. Happy holidays to each of you.
Thanks again to all. I hope you all will tune in again next week. Progressive News Network will be having a Sum Up the Year show with activists from the environmental spectrum, labor rights spectrum, and then a special show, the 23rd. So thanks for joining us. I hope you gained some important information tonight. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Spezak, News Director of Progressive News Network. On behalf of myself and my colleague, Mickey Royce, my co-producer, thank you for listening. Good night. Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.